And closer to home, North Carolinians still don't know who their governor will be next year. Incumbent Republican Pat McCrory is trailing by nearly 8,000 votes. His Democratic challenger Roy Cooper has claimed victory. But McCrory says there was enough voter fraud to sway the election, and he's called for a recount. Jeff Tabiri is with Here and Now contributor WUNC, and he's on the line from Chapel Hill. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
No problem. Hello.
So the current vote margin, something like less than one percentage point, and McCrory is well within his rights to call for a recount.
He absolutely is at this point. It's about 7,700 votes. That's the latest tabulation from the State Board of Elections. One thing to note here is that on election night, Democrat Roy Cooper came in ahead of Republican incumbent Pat McCrory by about 5,000 votes. So since the 2.5 weeks since election night, his lead has actually grown, yes, to your point, very small numbers, but it's actually grown by about 50%, so up to 7,700 votes, as long as it remains within 10,000 votes, as all the provisional and absentee ballots are cast, the governor can request a recount, which he has formally done and which we will likely have in the coming weeks.
But he is getting heat for that decision. So we mentioned he says there's voter fraud going on. He cites cases of people who have cast absentee ballots but then died before the election. What kind of evidence does the governor have, and could there possibly be enough cases out there to sway the election in his favor? As you say, the lead's growing against him.
At this point, there is no evidence of widespread voting fraud in the state of North Carolina. His camp has filed protests or complaints in more than half of the 100 counties alleging that people who had died voted. They're alleging that people who were felons voted. They're alleging that people voted twice. But in terms of empirical evidence or concrete data, that's very slim at this point. And what has happened, whether it's real or perceived, is a scene of chaos has developed here. And there are some fundamental questions about the integrity of the election. But at this point, there is no evidence that tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or really even hundreds of votes should be thrown out. Now, they're alleging that. But at this point, the number of votes that are even in question, if all of them were to, you know, move toward the McCrory pile, it still wouldn't be enough to sway the results of this outcome.
Now, it's important to go back in history a little bit here, because Republicans in North Carolina have been talking about voter fraud for a while now. In 2013, McCrory signed into law a measure that was later struck down by the Supreme Courts because it was thought to suppress the black vote. What is the relationship between the voting law that Republicans have been pushing in North Carolina and what we're seeing today?
Voting law is certainly a contentious and long-standing divisive political tool here in North Carolina. And it's more than just, of course, a political tool. But that law that you mentioned from 2013 mandated photo ID, reduced early voting, and did away with same-day registration. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond ruled that it was unconstitutional, said essentially that Republican lawmakers in North Carolina had acted with racial bias in putting this piece of policy forward, and it was undone pretty quickly. I think it's only natural to wonder what has happened in the last couple of weeks with this perceived fraud, again, whether it's legitimized and whether more evidence comes forward or not. But one has to wonder what Republican lawmakers will do, if anything, when they come back for the long session in January in terms of using this as a foundation or groundwork and perhaps taking another crack at voter ID or again changing election law here in the state.
Well, some big questions also swirling around North Carolina, wondering if the state legislature will just step in themselves and name McCrory the winner. And it looks like state law allows that.
It is it's a little more complicated. This has only happened once. It happened in 2004, not in a governor's race, but in a council of state race for an education position. And with that instance, there were missing ballots. There were thousands of votes that had been contested. And at the end of the day there, the Democratic candidate who was up by a couple of thousand votes, the election in question went to the legislature. And at that time, a democratically held legislature did certify the victory for that candidate. Now, if that were to happen in this case, and the lawmakers and the experts believe at this point that this is still a long shot, we are expecting that there would be some kind of larger challenge, that for the incumbent Pat McCrory, for him to say, oh, you know, these 70,000 votes or these 15,000 votes, he would have to question something that would be a little bit more broad and throw into question really the results and demonstrate that he should have won. And at this point, we haven't seen that kind of evidence.
Jeff, is North Carolina going to have a governor by January 7th, the day the inauguration is supposed to take place?
It's a good question. We certainly hope so. And in an interesting exchange I had with a longtime legislative staffer earlier today, he said there are conflicting provisions in the Constitution. One says that it would be the acting governor, Cooper, while another provision says the existing governor holds over until things are finalized. So all sorts of uncertainty here in North Carolina.
Peter. Wow, it'll be an interesting few weeks. Jeff Tiberi is the Capitol Bureau Chief with Here and Now contributor WUNC on the line from Chapel Hill. Jeff, thank you.
My pleasure.